Blog Talk Radio.
Your place, love connection. Your place of prayer, love, acceptance, compassion, and empowerment. Here's your host, Dr. Susie.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. Your Place Love Connection Bible Study. This is your place of prayer, love, acceptance, and empowerment. We're so glad to have you with us tonight. Tonight is a night where we got a lot to talk about. Yes, we do. So we're so glad to have you with us. And as always, we start off with song, scripture, and prayer. So we'll have song by Vicky Yohi, Because of Who You Are. We'll have a scripture by Dr. James Nooks, Proverbs 1 through 7, I think. I don't know if he has it. And I will offer the prayer. Amen.
You.
Amen. Our scripture for tonight is Proverbs 5, 1 through 7. My son, pay attention to my wisdom. Lend your ear to my understanding, that you may preserve discretion, and your lips may keep knowledge. For the lips of an immoral woman drip honey, and her mouth is smothered than oil, smoother than oil. But in the end, she is bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword. Her feet go down to death. Her steps lay hold of hell. Lest you ponder her path of life, her ways are unstable. You do not know them. Therefore, hear me now, my children, and do not depart from the words of my mouth. God has a blessing to the reading, the hearing, and the doing of his word, for it is the word of God.
Amen. Amen. Would you pray with me? God, we come before you and we just want to thank you for this day. Thank you for all the blessings that you've bestowed on us. Thank you for travel mercies back and forth from home. Thank you, Lord, for giving us the opportunity to praise your name one more time and to get it right. Lord, we fall short every day, all day, but we just ask that somewhere in the midst of your kingdom you find a place for us. Help us, O Lord, to be witnesses and vehicles of your love and compassion. We thank you for all that you do. We thank you for the voices that are going to hear your word this morning, this evening. And we know that somebody will ask what they need to be doing to be saved. But we thank you. We praise you. And we thank you that we have the victory in Christ Jesus. Amen. God is good all the time. And all the time. God is good. I'm so excited this evening. Possibly because I've had a really, really rough day. And, you know, God is good. And when I come back home and I thank the Lord for the fact that I made it back home and I wasn't like the person that, you know, ended up making it back to glory today, but that God gave me another opportunity to be here and spend time with my family. And not only that, but I know God's got work for me to do. And so I continue to operate in those things and thank the Lord for that. Tonight, we are excited again because we're going to continue our series. We've been working on this month, the topic of living the abundant life. This is our lesson for the month of September, living the abundant life. And we've already discussed last week the theme of what to expect as we build healthy relationships with others. And we, you know, ask the question, you know, with association, we know with the godly, there's no guarantee of godliness. And so tonight, as we're continuing, we want to talk about how we need to speak life and the power of the tongue, what that looks like, speaking life and the power of the tongue. So as we get started tonight, we're ready to go. So we're going to launch right into it and get started. So my first question tonight to those of you on the line is this thing. When I grew up, I always heard it's better to catch flies with honey than with vinegar. You can catch more flies with honey than with vinegar. Has anybody else heard that saying?
Yes.
Or something like it.
If
you heard something like it, what did yours? Oh, you did hear it? Did anybody else have a saying that's similar to that that meant the same thing? So everybody else has meant, what does that mean to you guys? You can catch more flies. You can catch more flies with honey than with vinegar. What does that mean?
It means that if you're sweet, something sweet, better than something that's bitter as far as attracting people, attracting anything. It's better to treat people right than it is to treat people wrong. You'll have better relationships if you treat people right as opposed to being mean to folks.
Well,
and how you talk to
Brother Brett, what?
How you talk to them.
Okay.
Yeah.
Brother Brett, what does that mean to you?
My mom always, when she wanted my dad to do something, she would always say, "Brett, do you mind doing something for me?" And he would say, "What you need, hon?" And that's how they communicated. But I had neighbors that one of them, shoe collar husband, darling, anytime he needed something, and if I was in the backyard working in my dad's garden and stuff, he said, "There she goes. She got something for me to do." Yeah. Seems that way every time she calls you that. But I saw that in action. When you are sweeter, or if you talk real nice to a person, you can get them to do almost anything that you want to do. I think that's why my mother said when Woman's Lib came out, what is it that women want? Because a real lady knows how to get her man to do whatever.
Okay.
That's it.
So does that work for y'all? I mean, how does that work for you guys? How has that worked for y'all? Does that work? Using the honey. Have you used it? Okay.
I've had somebody use it on me.
Ah! Do you use it on other people? Which way does it go, Brett? Which way does it go?
Oh, I think it kind of goes both ways when you're with the right person. A friend of mine wanted me to do something.
But it's not always a romantic thing, is it? It's not always romantic, though, right?
It works
people
better.
Just, I mean,
no, it's not
okay.
It's if you just treat people right. I mean, it works in business. It works in relationships. And I don't know why people think in order to be a good manager or supervisor, you're supposed to be mean and beat people up. You can get much more out of people if you treat them right. In our business, I see that model falling, and it's an old model. But it's like the supervisor couldn't get along with, wasn't supposed to get along with people. You're supposed to ostracize yourself from them. You are the one, you were cracking the whip, you know. But if you just treat people right, you get more out of them than you do trying to beat them over the head and running them down. I mean, you lift people up. That works in every relationship. I mean, I don't know who wants to be beat up over the head and put down. The beatings will continue until you do what I want you to do, you know. And that doesn't make any sense. But that's the way some people think they're supposed to treat people, and it just doesn't work.
Okay.
Amen.
So I'm assuming, based on what you just said, Dr. Nux and Britt, that y'all use that, right? And so that is actually working for you.
Oh, yeah.
I don't sit up and and intentionally think this is the way I ought to treat somebody. I just treat them that way. I mean, it's not a manipulation, or, you know, it's not saying, oh, I'm going to treat them right and I'm going to get them to do what I want them to do. I don't think like that. It's treating people right.
Yep.
And they.
But I
and
guess
they
if you're
naturally,
trying to change, if you're trying to be conscious of that, because you don't normally do it, that's the only way you could do it, right?
Right.
If you don't normally do it.
But Dr. Susie,
if you don't normally do that all the time, I mean, there's times you need to be intentional where you don't normally, you don't think about it, because that means that you don't always do it. So there's times when you need to do it, because you probably don't do it every time, because I wouldn't think any of us do it every time.
This is Brett. I do. I do it all the time.
Oh, do you? Okay.
But that's
okay. I mean, every time you open up your mouth, you say the molasses instead of the vinegar every time. Every time.
No.
Most times.
No.
That's what I just said. Every time.
Oh, okay. My mind was somewhere else. I'm sorry. I was because
I don't think there's anybody who does it every time. Which means
well,
that we got room
to nice
grow.
I try to be nice.
But I'm not
nice
just talking about being nice. I'm talking about using molasses. Being nice doesn't always mean using molasses to me. I mean, nice is nice, but this incident was making it a point of saying that there's an advantage to being nice. There's an advantage.
Right.
So the scripture says, if we go back to the scripture, it says, the tongue can be a tree of life. Proverbs 15:4. And I don't have, Dr. Nooks, do you have the message?
Sure I do, yeah.
Would you read that passage in the message?
Yeah. Just a minute. I'm sorry.
So he's reading Proverbs.
I got it. Dear friends, pay close attention to this, my wisdom. Listen very closely to the way I see it. Then you'll acquire a taste for good sense. What I tell you will keep you out of trouble. The lips of a seductive woman are so sweet. Her soft words are oh so smooth. But it won't be long before she's gravel in your mouth, a pain in your gut, a wound in your heart. She's dancing down the primrose path to death. She's headed straight for hell and taking you with her. She hasn't a clue about real life, about who she is or where she's going. So, my friend, listen closely. Don't treat my words casually. Keep your distance from such a woman. Absolutely stay away. Stay out of her neighborhood.
Well, what does this say, Dr. Nuss? Brother Eric? Britt?
Well, I think it's saying you need to watch out who you associate with and listen to what they... You know, listen to words of wisdom here, and people can lead you astray if you let them. So, and they can tell you stuff that's sweet, but they're not really out to do what's best for you.
Amen.
So Proverbs 15:4. Says a gentle tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness in it breaks the spirit. So it's back again to how we talk to people. It's what we say. People die because of something that's been said. You know, we're talking about how the tongue and the power of the tongue, how it can literally destroy people. So that's what we're talking about tonight is the power of the tongue. And, you know, reading the New Living Translation. Do you have a new – I know you're – are you driving, Eric?
No, actually, I just got in off the road. What text are we looking at?
We're at the New Living Translation at the Proverbs passage, Proverbs 15:4. Proverbs 15:4. New Living.
I'll start at one. A gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. A wise person makes learning a joy. Foolish sprout only foolishness. The Lord is watching everywhere, keeping his eyes on both the evil and the good. Gentle words bring life and health. A deceitful tongue crushes the spirit.
Amen.
That was a New Living Translation.
So what did you get from that?
Well, you need to be humble and mild with your speech and with your talk.
And that's what we were talking about earlier. I'm going to clue you in. We were talking about how they're saying that you can get more flies with molasses than with vinegar, honey than vinegar. So then we went into this
right.
text. So go ahead, Brother Eric.
Yeah, so
what was that text saying?
You need to be humble. You need to be, you know, kind and with your words and gentle with your words, not harsh, not bitter, not not being deceitful, not being anything other than gracious. Gentle words bring life and health. A deceitful tongue crushes the spirit.
Amen.
Amen.
So has anybody experienced that? I mean, is this just something we say? Well, I mean, what do we know about this? A deceitful tongue crushes the spirit.
Yeah. Yeah, people can say a word or some words and mess your whole day up and your whole life up. If you believe them, I mean, some people do it intentionally. They try to hurt people with their tongue. Others are angry and they do things that is not necessarily premeditated, but still, if you're focused on yourself, it's easy to tear people down because you're not even concerned about how other people are taking your message. All you're concerned about is yourself. But if you look at people, if you understand that what you say is going to hurt somebody, and if you know you're doing it and you're hurting them intentionally, that's even worse. But selfish people don't really care necessarily how they hurt people. And the words said, I mean, slander. I've been in meetings where people slander somebody's name and the people aren't there and their career is ended because somebody said something bad about them in a meeting with a whole lot of other people that might hire them. So, I mean, the words, the tone can destroy people. I mean, it can destroy relationships. Somebody says something to somebody, puts them down, and they never get back up. So, I mean, it's worse than getting shot sometimes, what the tongue can do. But yet, if you lift people up,
amen.
I mean, it can make their day and make their year, can make their life. I mean, I remember at a youth retreat one time, this woman who was there, and she's a teacher, been teaching for 30 years, and then she's sitting up there saying to my young people, "You're no good. You know, your daddy's no good." I couldn't believe it. I said, "Wait a minute, you can't be saying that to these young people. How can you say that?" I mean, it just blew my mind. But I see it so often. I mean, people put somebody down like that, and the kids. I mean, these are kids. I mean, the teenagers. How impressionable, you know, they're in a position where something like that can affect their whole life. And it just hurt me to my heart. You know, I still think about that today. But I see that in the church. I see preachers will put you down in a minute, some of them, especially if you're another preacher coming along. Sometimes they don't want you to even preach. They don't want you to teach. You know, they want to keep you down. They say bad things about you. Instead of lifting you up and trying to be a coach and helping you, they're going to put you down because they want to be lifted up. So, I mean, the focus, you know, that's why it's so important to listen to what Jesus said. And when he says we need to love each other, if you love somebody, you're not going to try to put them down like that. You're going to understand that they might be hurt. You're going to try to understand how their perspective anyway. If we just start trying to understand other people's perspectives every now and then, it would just change our world because it's not about me, you know. And when we can start understanding that, it changes everything.
Amen. Amen. What do you say, Brother Eric?
I'm still trying to gather my thoughts, so forgive me. But, I mean, Dr. Nooks is absolutely right. We have people who are in the church and who are forever trying to bring people down or trying to hold them back and say things that are not appropriate and don't realize that you can damage people for a very, very long period of time. And if a spirit is crushed, that's kind of taking away somebody's hope or somebody's desire or drive, and that's a lowly place to be.
We as
Christians ought not try to put people in those positions. We are told and taught through Christ that we should be lifting people up and bearing their burdens and encouraging them and helping them.
Amen.
As Barnabas, the son of encouragement, was, and that's supposed to be our call, but we missed that so many times.
Amen.
Amen. We do. Amen. We do. And I just wanted to share an illustration. Go ahead, bro.
This is Brett. I was going to say, I used to run into this all the time. Good example, I used to be a deputy sheriff way back in the 70s. And I used to escort the prisoners from the jail to the courtroom. And then when the prisoner was asked to speak on their own behalf, a lot of times their anger that they had in them caused them to speak the truth, but the truth got them into more trouble. And the thing is, I think we see this all the time on the court shows that they have on TV today, like divorce court and trying to find out who the father of the child is, the lies and deceits that are said to hurt somebody. Like a woman may say, well, it's not your child anyway, which is a good example of how you can hurt somebody. Having somebody believe for 6-7 years or 15-20 years that this child is theirs and come to find out it's not. And so I think this passage that we read out of Proverbs 15, watching your tongue, because it talks about the foolish. But then it also lets you know that God's eyes are everywhere. And it goes on to tell you in the fourth about the soothing tongue versus a perverse tongue. And the perverse tongue is the one that always gets you into trouble. And the thing is that once you speak that, it's like a bullet. Once you put it out there. It's going to hurt whoever heard it. And there's nothing you can do about it. You can't undo that.
So let's look at that
text.
That's
my take on that.
Let's go back and look at 15. Start, Britt, at 15. Since that's kind of what you're talking about,
right.
We were looking at 15, and so you were talking about that being a brick. So it says clearly, trying to get back to 15, if you have your Bible open?
Yeah, I got the New International Version.
So which one, I think you were reading, I don't have it right here. I went too far down. We were reading 15:1.
The second verse. Yeah, the second verse.
Yes.
The tongue of the wise adorns knowledge, but the mouth of the foolish gusses folly. And that's why I was talking about how prisoners that are so angry about being locked up and stuff, they allow that foolishness to come out. And therefore, that gets them into more trouble. But then, just like the judge is there, the judge is like the eyes of the Lord. He's looking and hearing and seeing. And then it tells you in 4 that the soothing tongue is a tree of life, but the perverse tongue crushes the spirit. And that's when these guys go from maybe a nickel sentence to a dime sentence. In other words, they go from 5 years to 10 years. because they open their mouth and say the foolish things.
Yeah.
I got
and,
it in
the,
I got it in the message. Wait.
Okay.
I was just going to read it in the message, see if that would help some.
Okay.
Proverbs 15:1-4. A gentle response diffuses anger, but a sharp tongue kindles a temper fire. Knowledge flows like spring water from the wise. Fools are leaky faucets dripping nonsense. God doesn't miss a thing. He's alert to good and evil alike. Kind words
Man.
Heal and help. Cutting words wound and maim.
Okay. All right. So we have to really be careful because we can hurt people. We really
Amen.
Can hurt people. That was pretty straight up. How many of you, I just wanted to share my story. When I first started working at the job here at the VA, my boss, which I will not name, said to me on the very first day of my work, he said to me, well, maybe this job isn't for you. You can always put in a transfer. And I asked, why would you say that to me on the first day? He says, I just call it the way I see it. So, you know.
No one ever.
This is, we're talking about employment. Your very first day of work. I'm not around any family anywhere, any connections. And this is my connection that says to me, well, you know, you may not belong here. And I haven't been there a full day. So, I mean, using this principle, I mean, as an example, my goodness, you know. So, in my case, I'm not going to lie, the very thing it says, but a perverse tongue crushes the spirit.
Amen.
My spirit was crushed. My spirit
Amen.
Was like, man, I ain't going to work. That I don't fit here. I'm not going to be able to, you know, that's my boss, the person who I report to. I'm not going to fit. I'm not going to be able to do a great work here. You know, my time is limited. And so the word is true. It is so true. And I'm just an example of multiple of situations where the perverse tongue, the tongue, can bring pain and hurt. And hurt.
Amen.
Amen.
So,
you know,
does
Dr.
anybody
Dude,
else? Go ahead.
Well, I just wanted to say, for those that are listening in, you know, what I've tried to look at myself and not so much try to look at what other people are saying, but what have I said? What have I done that may have harmed people? And it humbles me because when I look at my own life and some things that I've said, I'm ashamed. I mean, I try to do better. So I think it's good when we can take time, and especially some of it comes out of anger, some of it comes out of pain. You know, when we hurt, it's easier for us to hurt other people. But it's a mature Christian that even in their pain, they're not trying to hurt other people. I would just advise those that are listening in to think of some things that maybe you said so that you can grow and also, lift people up and remember maybe some of the things that people said to you that walked you down and don't do the same thing. And don't repeat some of the things that you've done, and then encourage other people. I think if we set an example, of trying to be more positive and uplifting, I think it helps those that are around us to perhaps reflect that type of an attitude also. But if we are grumpy and put people down, and first of all, a lot of people aren't going to want to be around us, but those that, are may reflect the same thing. So, I mean, we are the light of the world. That's what Jesus said. You know, we're the salt that had not lost its savor. We're a light that's supposed to be on a hill. So the example we set is really important.
And Dr. Nix, right now, let's look at the suicide rate. We've got all these children who've been bullied, and then they feel that they don't have any recourse, and many of them are committing suicide. And not only that, I don't want the example to just be children, but I remember when my Vietnam vets came back from the Vietnam War, and they were spat on and told that they were baby killers because they had to do everything to survive. Now, how are you going to call somebody a baby killer and they're over there risking their life for you? They don't ask to have to do all of that stuff. They get forced. You know, they're doing everything they can to keep you alive. And yet, I'm not saying that everything was perfect or what they did, everything was right. I'm not saying that at all. But they always put themselves in harm's way for us.
Amen.
So.
Amen.
You know? So, I mean, there are situations when Martin Luther King, how do you think he used this principle?
Nonviolence. You know, that's a good example of trying to do the honey as opposed to the vinegar, as opposed to many that were in his time. They didn't want the nonviolence. They wanted to use whatever means is necessary. You know, it's
Malcolm X.
They didn't care about violence. Huh?
Amen.
Sorry.
Malcolm, by any means necessary.
Yeah.
This is Eric. That's just kind of our nature. It's we've been kind of told tit for tat. I mean, if someone hits you, you hit them back. If someone, you know, says something about you, you say something back. This world makes us think that if you don't stick up or speak up for yourself, that in a manner that it was done to you, that somehow or another you're weak. And that's absolutely not true.
Amen.
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 So can you expound on that a little bit, Brother Eric? Because I'm sure there's somebody who heard you say that. So, you know, I'm sure they're in a situation where they feel they've been bullied or mistreated or, I mean, even on a job.
Yeah, well, I mean, those things are going to happen in our lives, but our motto is Christ, and Christ, even on his way to the cross, didn't defend himself, didn't hold on to his glory as God himself. He humbled himself. He allowed it to be done because he knew what was true. And that you don't, if you are a Christian and becoming a mature Christian, you don't always try to fight back. Sometimes you just let it happen, and God knows why, and will reward you accordingly if you're doing it for all the right reasons. You know, sometimes you don't need to do those things to get back with each other, and that's just this world. This world, this human nature, this world, the teachings of this world is that you don't let anybody misuse you, you don't let anybody abuse you, you don't let anybody do anything to you, and if they do, then you try to do it back to them. And if you think they're trying to do it, you do it to them first. But that's not God's, that's not God's methodology.
Amen.
Yes. Amen. Amen. So that's what the power of the tongue will do. Tongue can be a weapon of mass destruction. It can be the death of marriages. Come on, somebody, speak up. Friendships, church careers.
Amen.
Hopes, understanding. But people also live because of something said. So the tongue can be a tree of life. What does that mean when it's saying the tongue could be a tree of life? And then we look at Matthew 5:9, it says, blessed are the peacemakers. What does it mean by it can be a tree of life?
Well, this is Eric. I I think that means that the encouragement and the nourishment can spur people on to do good things and to be productive and to have
Amen.
A hope. As I said, a person without hope is, as Paul said, we are most miserable if we have no hope. Of course, he was talking about, you know, looking for eternity, but that's even true in our daily lives. If you think that there is no hope and there is no benefit of your existence, then, you know, you can fall into any number of things, you know, depression, alcoholism, suicide, any number of things, and that's just a few. But if you're being encouraged and being, you know, lifted up, understanding that there is hope, there is a way forward, that's providing life to someone.
Amen.
Well, Dr. Susie Disbrink, you experience this every day by you being a chaplain at the VA. There are people there that are sick, that are hurting mentally and both physically, and you can bring a word of kindness to them. You can bring the word to them. You can lift them up in spirit when they're down. It gives them the courage to try and work harder, to walk on a prosthetic leg or use a prosthetic arm or undergo an operation for whatever it is. You bring hope. You bring joy to people. You comfort them. You allow them to be at peace. And this is what we as ministers should be doing on a daily basis to the people we come in contact with. You just never know.
So, Brother, what does that mean to you then when you say tongues? In Matthew 5:9, it says, blessed are the peacemakers. What does that mean to you?
To me, it means that when you can bring comfort and peace to somebody's heart, God is blessing you. I know a lot of times you may not know what a person is going through until they open up to you. But once they do, you're able to, I'm not going to say you're able to, I should rephrase that. God allows you to remember some things that you have read about the word that will bring them comfort and hope. And that will comfort them at that moment and allow them to get through some things. I know a friend of mine was with me when I had my last eye surgery, and we went up to visit her brother. And while she was visiting her brother, I was in prayer. I was in the waiting room. And 2 hours later, she found out that her brother had changed for the better, that he wasn't dying anymore. And I just told her, prayer will change things. When you go in with a positive attitude, God has a way of lifting up. Prayer changes things. That's one thing you got to believe. When you think there is no hope, God will change it. It just takes somebody that's faithful that God will listen to, and that intercessory prayer can change a whole lot of things that's going on.
And the people with a tongue that's positive and uplifting can be peacemakers. But people
Amen.
That are divisive and say things to hurt are not peacemakers. And we see this in our governments right now, you know, and how
Come on.
Leaders can affect the relationships with other countries, say crazy things, sayings that are mean, and it causes division. I mean, people that have been our allies for years now don't trust us because of things that were said. I mean, the tongue, when things are said viciously to hurt people, it causes division. And it's the same way in our daily lives. I mean, we can say things that cause division and separate us. Or we can say things that bring us together. These are the peacemakers. And it's hard to be a peacemaker sometimes in situations that
Amen.
You don't really feel like being a peacemaker in. and that is a challenge sometimes, and that's what we need God. Because if we did it in our own nature, I don't know if we'd be making much peace. But if we
Amen.
Rely on God and the Holy Spirit, sometimes we can say things and do things that are not of ourselves. And we need help in those situations, especially sometimes when we are hurt, we're angry, to be a peacemaker, to say things to help people. And it's easy to say things to people that you like. The challenge is to be say things positive and uplifting to people that you don't like. That's the challenge, my sisters and brothers that are listening in. But that's what we need to see. But Jesus told us to even love our enemies. You know,
amen.
So, yes. So it's tough, but that we can really change things if we can do that.
All right.
So when we have an understanding of Matthew 5:9, can we have somebody read that? And then we'll close with this 5:9. And Eric, if you'll get Proverbs 12:18, Dr. Nix, would you get Matthew 5:9 and read that context of the Sermon on the Mount?
Okay.
And Brett, would you get Luke 6:45? Okay, Dr. Nix.
Matthew 5:9, you're blessed when you can show people how to cooperate instead of compete or fight. That's when you discover who you really are and your place in God's family.
What does that mean to you, Dr. Nix?
That these are the blessed people that bring about peace, cooperation. And I like that. It says then that's when you discover who you really are and your place in God's family. When you can, and this is a display of love to me. It's when you can do this, show people how to cooperate instead of compete or fight. Blessed are the peacemakers.
So, you know, I haven't heard anybody do an Eric thing because, you know, tonight, I don't know, everybody must be tired, but I mean, the real deal is we live with people like this every day. And, you know, as Christians, you know, how do we deal with this? Because I know some of our new believers, our young believers, you know, they're like, shoot, I'm just going to tell them and get them off my back. I mean, at what point in time, I mean, how do those of you who've been doing this and dealing with this for years, what is the word of wisdom?
Keep trying. Sometimes you're not going to make it. Sometimes you're going to fail. But keep trying. And when you do, then you really see the power of God working. But you know it's not you.
Amen.
Dr. Amen. Susie, so can we get the next? Yeah.
I was going to say, sometimes it's better to not say anything at all and just keep on moving. That sends a loud message to some people better than you can find words to fight what they're saying. Just be quiet. Move on.
All right.
You know, Susie, you need to be reflective. You need to take the time to look at yourself. If you don't do that, you won't be able to do this. So you need to take
right.
some time. I know that Eric takes time and prays, but I mean those of us that are in Christ need to take time to look at ourselves. And we learn this in
Amen.
Chaplaincy, in clinical pastoral education. But it's so important. Because you go along and you think everything's okay, but you don't even take time to sit down and look at yourself and say, what am I doing? Why am I doing it? How am I treating people? How are people treating me? How does that affect me? You know, so for those that are listening, take time to really be reflective on yourself and your life, and that'll help you grow.
Amen.
And then ask God for help
Amen.
In the areas where you find you need help. You will need help. Amen.
Amen. Could we get the next scripture?
That's a Proverbs, Dr. Susie.
Yes.
Proverbs 12:18. I'm going to read a little further up. We'll start at 13 and kind of read a couple of scriptures. The wicked are trapped by their own words, but the godly escape such trouble. People can get many good things by the words they say. The work of their hand also gives them many benefits. Fools think they don't need advice, but wise listen to others. A fool is quick-tempered, but a wise person stays calm when insulted. Honest wisdom tells the truth, all wisdom tells lies. Some people make cutting, this is 18, some people make cutting remarks, but the words of the wise bring healing.
Amen.
That's a strong word. What does that mean?
It means that you shouldn't be quick-tempered and to spout stuff that that insults people. That if you are wise, your words should bring healing to those that you are in conversation with. And that's just what you should be doing if you are serving God. You should be studying and asking the Lord to work within you. And when you find yourself outside of that, ask the Lord to forgive you and to strengthen you, to show you a way so that next time you enter into that same situation, you'll know which way to go, which is you don't need to get angry, you don't need to get hot-tempered, you don't need to say all those mean and hurtful, despiteful things. You just need to try to
So, Brother Eric, you saying you always did that?
No.
You always did that?
None of us always does that. None of us always does that, even every day. I mean, every day is a challenge. Every day you've got
to think about what you've done and ask the Lord to forgive you. Yes, we've got all these young folks who are out here. So how do they get to where, what you're talking about? How do they get there? Because this, like you said, this doesn't happen.
It doesn't happen overnight, and it doesn't happen all at once, and it's a daily journey. But when you start to spend time and reading God's word and what it says and reading those passages,
the relationship.
And meditating on them and asking the Lord to fill you with those in your spirit, in your heart, in your mind, in your body, and to give you the discernment that when you are outside of what that says, that he would prick your heart and bring to remembrance. And at that point, you could then ask for forgiveness and repent. And then, ask the Lord to show you at the next step that when you get to that junction that you don't go the same way again, that you continue to move forward. And it's a journey. It's not read the word and, okay, I'm there. It's a journey. It's a journey. And you may fall outside of that every day for 1,000 times a day, but if you're sincere about your study and your relationship, you may get up one day and it may only be 999. And then 2 weeks later, it may only be 800. I mean, it's a journey.
All right.
Amen.
Amen.
We got another scripture, so we're getting close to that final scripture. We got a Luke passage, or is that the last one?
Yeah.
I think somebody had
this
Luke.
Brit. Yeah, this is Brit. You gave me Luke 6:45. I want to start at 43.
That's what I was going to say. Read the whole context.
Yeah, this is from the New International Version. 43, it says, "No good tree bears bad fruit, nor does a bad tree bear good fruit. Each tree is recognized by its own fruit. People do not pick figs from thorn bushes or grapes from briars. A good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart, and an evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart. For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of." That's 43 through 45.
So, group, what does that consensus mean? What is it talking about? Anybody got us something similar? Basically. Another text? Go ahead, Brett.
Well, I was going to say, this goes back to what happens today. We call them street people, but if you live in the street and your heart is full of anger and hatred and pain, then that's all you're going to bear. If you find a woman, you have kids, and that is your attitude, and that's her attitude, and she supports you, what do you think your kids are going to do? It's the exact same thing that you say and do in the home. Whereas in a person that's trying to do good, a person that's trying to live a Christian life, or even if they are doing the right things, their kids are going to see a good example. And one of the things I always tell people, a good man knows how to love a woman. And if your children see how you treat their mother, then that's what they're going to look for when they go out into the world, somebody that's going to treat them the way the father treated the mother. Go ahead.
But the question becomes, what fills your heart? When we're reading this scripture, what fills your heart? It all depends on what's filling your heart. Jesus said, out
right.
of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So what is it filling
right.
your heart? And a critical heart is going to produce a critical tongue. A self-righteous heart is going to produce a judgmental tongue. A bitter heart will produce a servant tongue. An ungrateful heart produces a grumbling tongue. The issue becomes a loving heart is going to what? Have a gracious tongue. A faithful heart, come on, y'all, produces a truthful tongue. A peaceful heart has a reconciling tongue. A trusting heart produces an encouraging tongue. So we got to look at what's in our heart.
Amen.
The words you speak depend on what's filling your heart.
Amen.
Amen.
So what we got to understand tonight, go ahead.
I said that ought to give us pause if we find ourselves spewing out anger and evil things. Ask ourselves what's in our heart. And then ask God for forgiveness.
Or doubt.
And, yes. And ask and seek to be cleaned up so that our heart, we can have a clean heart.
Amen.
Amen. As we close, I encourage you. That's exactly what I was going to say, Dr. Ness. And the prayer, set a guard, O Lord, over our mouth. Keep watch over the doors of my lips. Psalms 141:3. Let me say that again. Set a guard, O Lord, over my mouth. Keep watch over the door of my lips. Some of us ought to have that one memorized.
Amen.
Because that's important. I'm laughing about it, but that's a serious thing. Lord, put over my mouth a guard. Because if there's something watching over what it is we say, it's not just about what comes out, but it's what's on the inside there. We need to be, as Dr. Nook said earlier, reflecting so that we know what's in our heart. And we need to be praying, having Bible study, going to the Lord, beseeching the Lord on our behalf so that what's on the inside of our heart does not come out until it's something
Amen.
That will give God glory and praise. So we know that the word is the truth and the life, and that's what we have to embed in our hearts, the word of God. So let's start speaking the word of God. So today the scripture says, make your mouth a fountain of life. That's Proverbs 10:11. Be slow to speak, James 1:9. Encourage more than your critique. Come on. Some people can't say nothing but some kind of critique. We can't say nothing positive. We can't even start off
Amen.
Positive. But we want to use the opportunity to be tenderhearted in what we say. Say something affectionate to a loved one when they unexpected. Seek not just to speak words that are critical, but good for building people up. I go through life. What would it be like if we were intentional that every time we open our mouth, we had to find somebody to say something good to, something to build somebody up, something to make somebody else feel better, you know, instead of anything that we might say negative. But if we could just find somebody and make their day. So as we go tonight, I ask that Brother Eric, if you would close us tonight with a word that's encouraging us to have a mouth that will be full of praise and honor and positivism, that will speak truth but yet speak love and kindness and patience and perseverance, that we will begin to walk like that through the study of God's word and empower one another, not just ourselves, but encouraging one another so that we could do it to each other and others around us. And then offer an invitation, if you will.
Gracious Father, for those who have been listening and looking for something more than what they have in their lives, because our lives are not our own. For those that may be looking for the Spirit of Jesus, I would ask that you would pray this prayer. Lord Jesus Christ, come into my life. I surrender myself to you, that you may be Lord of my life, to rest, rule, abide in God and direct me, knowing that if I believe in my heart and confess with my mouth to Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, that I shall be saved. And if you have prayed that prayer, Jesus will come into your life and you are saved. And I would invite you to find a church where you can study and fellowship. And at some point in time, be baptized, but the scripture tells us that if you believe in your heart and confess your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior, that you are saved. So at that point, you're saved. Gracious Father, I am not worthy to come before your throne this evening. I am a man of unclean lips and perverse thoughts from time and deeds that are not pleasing to you, Lord, but you made us all and you gave us Christ. But if we should come to our senses and ask thy forgiveness, that we could be saved by Jesus Christ's blood that was shed on Calvary's cross. And so we are eternally grateful for that gift that you gave us. Father, I ask that you would guide and direct our minds, our thoughts, our mouths, that we may be encouragement to others and those around us, that we may speak truth in words that give life and help us to be a model of what Christ was for us as he walked here. He didn't hold to his authority. He didn't try to get even with folks who misused him and mistreated him. He didn't go tit for tat when they were even trying to crucify him. Father, he, Isaiah said, he was led as a sheep before the slaughter. He didn't say a word. He willingly went for a greater cause than what we could ever do. But let that be a model for us, Father, that even in our time here on earth, that we say that we are Christians, we're trying to be Christ-like. We know that it's a journey. It doesn't happen all at once from when we're baptized, that it all just changes. But strengthen us daily as we study thy word, as we have small groups, as we attend Bible study in church, as we have conversations. Let us be mindful that our words mean something, that they give life, or they can be a curse. And let us not be that. For salty water and fresh water don't mix together, Father. So have your way, Father. You know what I'm trying to say, even though I stumble over these words. I'm grateful for the opportunity to be in thy presence, Father, knowing that it's only because of your Son, Jesus Christ. And we will give you the praise, honor, and glory for all that you do in us. In your Son, Jesus Christ's name, we pray, amen. Hey, I'd like to thank all of you for being a part of this and dialoguing with y'all every week. It's a highlight for most of us. Even with busy schedules, we try to make sure that we can get here, and sometimes it's a challenge. But I just thought I would say that because it is an encouragement that there are those listening that can benefit from this Bible study. So thank you, Dr. Susie, Dr. Nooks, Brother Brett, and those that are listening for all that you bring to this group study. So I just want to say that.
Thank you.
Amen. Thank you. See you next week.
Blessing.
All right.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to Your Place Love Connection, your place of prayer, love, acceptance, compassion, and empowerment.